Okay, Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 9 to 11 tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Verse number 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." The Apostle Paul here is talking about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Years ago, we planted an orange tree in our backyard, and I've mentioned it maybe in the past, but that little orange tree, I was all excited. We planted two lemons and an orange tree and something else. I forget what it was. The orange tree, it sat there and sat there. Never got any bigger year after year. We'd wait for oranges. We'd get nothing. It just sat there. Didn't get bigger. Didn't grow. Just nothing. Finally, I got tired of waiting. I dug it up and found out that it was all root bound. And the roots hadn't gone anywhere. It looked just like that pot that I put in the ground. Just there they were. And so it didn't make it. But, you know, the reason we planted that that orange tree is because I wanted oranges. I wanted to be able to eat oranges. That's the purpose of planting it. And, you know, God has placed us as Christians here for the purpose of producing fruit. He wants fruit from our lives. Now, the fruit from our lives is not oranges, but it is things that will be produced in our life that will show forth that we are alive and that we are being pleasing to God. And we're going to talk more about that fruit when we go along here tonight, so I won't have to go into it right now. But God asked that Paul was asking God that God would help the Colossian Christians to grow spiritually. Now, as we think about this tonight, what I want each of us to do is to look into our life as we're going through this and ask yourself as we're going through, how much am I growing spiritually? That's a very important question. How much am I growing spiritually? You know, it's not a matter of getting information. You guys are doing well at getting information. But information doesn't produce fruit. All right? You're learning about the geography of Israel, you're learning facts about the Bible, you're learning information, and that's good. It's important that we know information, but what we need for growth is application. We can have information, but if we don't have application and it's not changing our life and we're not growing, it's just filling our head with facts. And there's loads of religious people that have their heads full of facts, but they're not walking with the Lord. They're not growing. They're not being what God wants them to be. They're just full of information. And that's not what God wants. We do need the information, and I'm glad you're learning, but we need the application that'll make us to grow. And so Paul here is writing to the Colossians, and he's saying to them, I'm praying that God will make you a growing Christians. That God will make you growing Christians. And verse number 9 again, he says, for this cause. Why? For what he just said. He had talked about in verses 1 to 8, about their relationship with Christ. And he said, after I heard that you are saved, I'm excited about that. I'm praying for you. I'm rejoicing in the change that has taken place in your life. But now, he says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Right? So he says, I'm praying for you that you'll grow. So the first thing that Paul was praying for is that first sign of spiritual growth is that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now, what does that mean? Pay close attention. Let's look at this. God wanted them to gain more distinct, clear, practical, full knowledge of His mind and His will. He wanted them to know what God wanted for them to do. You know, if someone has come up to you and say, what does God want you to do with your life? You might say, I don't know. See, God wants us to know His will. He wants us to know His mind. God has a plan for your life and He's got a plan for my life. And God wants us to know that plan so that we can be part of that plan and so that we can grow. And in order to do that, we've got to know God's will. And He's not talking about our will. He's talking about God's will. Notice there He says that He's praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. His will. He didn't say I'm praying that you'll just be filled with the knowledge of what you want to do with life. Make up your mind what you're going to do in life. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what God wants you to do. You know, it's great for us, especially when you get up to your older teenage years in the early 20s, and you start figuring out, what am I going to do with my life? And what avenue am I going to follow? What kind of job am I going to get? And who am I going to marry? And where am I going to live? And what am I going to do? And all those things are going through the mind of an older teenager, young youth, and trying to find out what God wants. But the thing that needs to be going through all of our minds, what does God want me to do with my entire life? What does God want me to do? It doesn't matter whether you're 12 or whether you're 42. God has a plan for your life. And God wants you to know His plan and to be able to walk in that plan. And God expects us to understand His plan and His purpose for our lives. And we understand the will of God through the Word of God. See, you can't get around that. God tells us about His will in His Word. It's just like, if you're trying to find your way someplace, you use a map. All right, now the maps today are all digital and all that kind of stuff. You use your phones, but it's all a map. All right, and the maps guide you to where you want to go, and they show you the plan. And if you don't have a map to follow, you just go out there and say, "Well, I don't know. I kind of think it's this way. We'll try over there." And sometimes you might make it, sometimes you don't, because you don't know where you're going. And so it is in life. God says there's a plan. I've got a plan for your life, and we need to know His plan in order to be able to follow His will. Now, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will is to be controlled by it. To be filled with is to be controlled by it. Let me give you some examples to help you understand. If someone was filled with anger, that means they're controlled by anger. All right? If they're filled with anger, we said, "Oh, they were full of anger." Well, that means they were controlled by the anger. If you see somebody that's staggering down the street and say, "He's full of alcohol," well, it means he's controlled by the alcohol. If you see a person when the Bible talks about a person being filled with the Spirit, that means he's controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so when Paul's talking here and praying, and he says, "I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will." He's talking about, I want you to be controlled by the knowledge of God's will. I want you to be controlled by what you know that God wants you to do. I want it to control your life. I want it to control the things you do. I want it to control what you say, the things you think about, the places you go, all the things you do in life. I want it to be controlled by the knowledge of God's will. And so we need to be controlled by that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God says the Word of God, He gave it to us that we may be perfect and thoroughly furnished. That means completely equipped unto all good works. God gives us all that we need to live for Him right here in this book. All right? And we need to then know the Bible in order to know what God wants us to do. And so God equips us through His Word. Now, notice Paul talks specifically about two ways in which they needed to equipped. Number one, he said, "I'm praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will in all..." What's that next word? "In all wisdom." I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. Now we know that wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Wisdom comes from God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6. "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." It is God that gives wisdom. God gives us His wisdom through the Word. The Bible is our source for knowing God's mind. It's our source for knowing God's wisdom. If you want to be a wise person, you need to know the Bible so that the Bible can guide your choices. And if you follow the Bible guidance for your choices, you will make right and wise choices in life. Because the Bible is God's mind concerning everything we need to know in life. And so we need to know the Bible. And wisdom is that ability to make those right choices in life. And we need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in order to have wisdom. And He reveals that will through the Bible. It comes right back to the same thing that I'm talking about all the time. You've got to know the Bible. You've got to study the Bible. You've got to read the Bible. And I'm not talking about just coming to church on Sunday and listening carefully when I preach the Bible. That's part of it. But that's only a tiny part of it. I'm not talking about coming on Wednesday night and learning some of the facts about the books of the Bible. That's a tiny part of it. But you stop and think in your own life, in a physical sense, God talks about eating the Word of God like we eat food. And if this week, all right, let's just say for this week, if this week the only time you ever put any kind of food in your mouth was when the same amount of time you put Bible in your heart as you study it in the week. By the end of the week, some of you would have a bellyache, all right, starving, hungry. Because we don't feed ourselves with the Word of God. And we need to, we feed our mouth, you know, three times a day or more, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and before bed, and a whole bunch of times in between, snacks. But we spend almost no time in the Bible. And we wonder why we're not growing. If you took a child and only fed him three times a week, a little tiny bit of a food three times a week, would that kid grow? No, he'd get sick, he'd probably die. Eventually. Now, he's not going to die right away, but he'd probably die. Why? Because he needs more food than that. And the same is true with a Christian. You can't expect to grow without the Bible. And it's not about hearing the Bible, it's about getting in there and feeding your soul. You know, we're talking about growing now. And, you know, you take a child, and once they're about a year old, you're expecting them to, you know, you're teaching them, this is your spoon, hang on it, shovel it up, and stick it in your mouth. And do it yourself. All right? And you don't want a kid that's, you know, 15 years old, and sitting there with his, you know, pick his bowl up and eat out of the bowl with his mouth. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not the thing we're supposed to do. You're supposed to know how to eat by then. You know, and when you see a child that is mentally retarded or something of that nature and they can't grasp that, it breaks your heart. So here's a person who's never grown up. And spiritually, it's the same thing. God doesn't want us to stay babies. He says, grow up. And Paul says, I'm praying that you will grow up and you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. And then he says, in all spiritual understanding. Now, this word spiritual understanding or understanding there is very an interesting word. It's a word that means piecing things together. Piecing things together. It has the idea of insight or discernment. Being able to put all the facts together to make sense out of it. Okay? God says, I don't want you to just know information. I want you to be able to put them all together to make sense out of it, to make right choices in life. All right? You need discernment. When you're making choices, when you go to pick, buy clothing, you need discernment. Discernment means insight. It means looking at it and say, would this be what would please God? Would this be what would honor the Lord? When you go to buy something else or you go to do something, you need discernment. Would this be the place God wants me to go? Is that the kind of music God wants me to listen to? Is this the right way I should talk? Is this the way that I should conduct myself? Is this how I should look? And all the things of life, every area of life, we need discernment. And he says here, I'm praying that you will grow up so that you'll be able to get wisdom to make right choices and insight or discernment. So you'll be able to look at a situation and know whether it's right or wrong. You know, you get a child and a lot of times they don't know, they can't tell, they can't make the choice of which is a better choice. All right? And for example, if you took and you put a big bowl of sweet gooey dessert over here and over here a banana and an apple and a piece of meat, and you tell a child, all right, now this is what you're going to be able to eat for today, which would they take? Most of them wouldn't have the discernment to realize, if I eat that, it's not going to strengthen me. This is what's going to strengthen me. That's what I would kind of like, but this is going to be better. There's discernment there. All right? Making the right and wise choice. Not necessarily the one that tastes the best or the one that feels the best or the one that I like the best, but the one that's going to be best for me. And that is discernment. So spiritually, the same is true. There's decisions in life. I've got to make decisions. And we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need to know the Word. We need to say, all right, now God, what do you want me to do with this situation? How am I to respond? How am I to make this right choice? What am I supposed to do? Give me wisdom and give me discernment. Give me insight to be able to make the right choice in life. You know, probably the most important choice other than salvation that you will ever make in your life is who you will marry. And young people, listen carefully. That is not a choice that you make by looks. It is not a choice that you make by feelings. It is not a choice that you make by just popularity. Say, but I like him. He's such a cute guy. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Because what you need to do is you need to look at their character. You need discernment to be able to say, what kind of person is that? What are they going to be like 20 years from now? How are they going to treat me? How do they treat their mother? How do they treat their brothers and sisters? You get a girl that treats her brothers and sisters like rats, then you can't expect her to treat you like a loving husband. She's going to treat you like a rat too. See, it all works together. And each of you young people need to be thinking about that in life. The way you act now toward your brothers and sisters and toward your mom and dad are the way you're going to act toward your husband or wife. And is it any wonder that there's so many conflicts in marriage? See, when you go to find a spouse, you need to be thinking about these kind of things. You need to think, all right, what kind of a person are they? What kind of character do they have? Are they godly? Do they read the Bible every day? Do they walk with God? Do they love God? Do they talk about the Lord? When we get together, do we fellowship about the spiritual things? Or do the only things we talk about are the things of this world? See, discernment. You need wisdom and you need discernment. All the decisions in life. So Paul said, I'm praying you'll grow, that you'll get discernment. You'll be able to make those right choices. But then notice what he says next. He says in verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, now here he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. So it's building. See, there's a next step. You've taken the first step, getting some knowledge, spending some time in the Word of God. Why do we do that? To help us to grow, to help us to become more like Christ, to give us wisdom and discernment. But the next step then is walking worthy of the Lord. It's walking worthy. Now, what do we mean by walking worthy of the Lord? In order to understand this, you've got to have an understanding of what the word worthy means, and you've got to understand what God is like. Okay? The word worthy literally means in the manner worthy of. Do it in a manner worthy of God. In a manner worthy of God. Now, we struggle with this. And I say we, and I'm at the top of the list. I struggle with this. Because we don't grasp fully who God is. We fail to realize that God is the eternal being of the universe. He has always existed. He has always lived. Before there was anything else, God lived. And God will always keep on living because God is eternal. Not only is God the eternal being of the universe, but God is the sovereign of the universe. Now, we really struggle with this one because we don't have any sovereigns around here. All right? We have a prime minister, but he's not really a sovereign. A sovereign was a king. A king that could say, my word is law. Nobody questions me. You do it my way or die. Now, that's the rule of a king. And that's why people were so scared of the kings. Because you make the king mad at you, all the king has to say is, I don't like the way you looked at me this morning. Off with his head. You're dead. Just like that, the king had absolute authority. They didn't have to go to the court and say, well, is this okay? Is the king making a good judgment? That had nothing to do with it. King is sovereign. He is absolute. He can do anything he wants without asking anybody else because he is the absolute authority. Now, God is the sovereign of the universe. Not just the sovereign of a kingdom. Not just the sovereign of a nation. He's the sovereign of the universe. He can do anything he wants. He is. But the great thing about God is He's always right, He's always true, He's always just, He's always holy, He makes no mistakes, He knows everything, He's all-powerful. God is awesome. And with that kind of a God, if we understand, God knows everything. God knows exactly who you're going to marry someday, young people. God knows exactly where you're going to live. God knows exactly what is best for you. God knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows what is best for your life. He knows the best choices in life. He knows the best job for you. He knows everything, everything, everything. He is the sovereign of the universe that is unlimited in all of His power. And God says, you're to walk worthy of Him. To walk worthy of Him. To walk worthy of being His child. That's like being worthy to walk into the presence of God. You think about the examples in the Bible of people that were either in the presence of God or thought they were in the presence of God. What did they always do? As soon as they recognized that they might have been in the presence of God, they fell flat on their face before God.
And they said, "Oh, God,
have mercy on me." Why did they do that? Because they recognized they were in the presence of the sovereign of the universe. We don't see that much today. We don't recognize who God is. We just treat God like, you know, he's the nice guy upstairs that I can talk to once in a while. That's not God. God is the sovereign of the universe. He is in control of everything. And God says, "I want you to walk worthy of me. Worthy of me." That means to walk in a way that always honors Him. One commentator put it this way. He said, "Walking worthy of the Lord is to have an attitude that anticipates every wish of God." An attitude that anticipates every wish of God is to walk pleasing in Him. Walking worthy unto His pleasing. To say, "I want everything in my life to please God. I want to please Him because of who He is." Luke chapter 18 verse number 27 says, "And He said, the things that which are impossible with men are possible with God." God's unlimited in His power. In Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God is the creator of the universe. He is powerful. He is the sovereign. He is the God that we need to worship and be worthy of. And God says, "I want you to walk worthy of me. Worthy of me. Worthy of me." And then He goes on and He says that this worthy walk will be productive. He says it'll be pleasing to the Lord. Verse number 10 again. "Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." To make God pleased in all that we do. We're not to please ourselves. We're not to please our peers, our friends. We're not to please society. We're not to please anything else in life. God says, "I want you to please me." You know, from a human perspective, we struggle with that because we say, if I said, "Please me, do what I want, please me." Well, that's proud and arrogant. But for God to say, "Please me," why isn't that arrogant and proud? It's because God owns everything. It's all His. He created it all. He made it all. He is in charge of it all. He sustains life. You know, He created life, gave you the life that you have. Not only did He create you, but God is sustaining us. If God took His hand off of this world, I literally believe the whole universe would explode in a second because the atoms are held together by the power of God. Scientists look at those atoms, they say, "We don't understand what keeps them together." I do. It's God. And as soon as God stops sustaining the world, it's gone. And see, we owe everything to God because of who He is. And He said, "I want you to walk worthy of me and please me in all that you do." And then He says that we will also bear fruit. He said that unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. God said, "I want you to be fruitful in every good work." Now, God didn't say we are to bear fruit to get saved. He didn't say we're to do work to get saved. He said we do work because we are saved. God says, "I want you to do work for me because you know me as your Savior." And there's a big difference between working to get saved and working because we're saved. God expects us then to work for Him and to bear fruit. And fruit, you know, a fruit tree that is healthy will produce fruit. And we expect fruit from a fruit tree. And God looks at us and said, "I'm expecting fruit from your life. There needs to be some evidence of change, and I want some benefit from it." The fruit is something we can benefit from that tree. Our lemon trees that just produce abundance of lemons, we get the benefit of eating all those lemons and giving them away, the ones that we can't eat. There's a benefit from it. God says, "I want to see your life, and I want to see some benefit come out of your life. I want you to grow. I want you to be bearing fruit." As we think about bearing fruit, you know, it's not just the fruits of the Spirit, but that would be part of it. Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." That's part of it. But there's all kinds of things in our life that God wants us to bear fruit in. We think about doing good works for Him. You know, there's things like witnessing, praying, and studying the Bible, and living godly, attending church, tithing, and exhorting one another, The list goes on and on. You read the Bible, you'll find the list goes on and on and on and on for a Christian's life. Things that God wants us to do. That's the good works that he's talking about. You know, and you look at your life right now, as I mentioned it earlier, I want you to examine yourself because each of us need to look at ourselves and say, how much am I growing? How much am I doing these things? How much ever you be witnessing? How many tracts did you pass out? How often do you speak for the Lord? What is your walk with the Lord like? And your time with the Lord in the Bible and your faithfulness to God in all these areas, your tithing and your exhorting one another and in praying. All these things are part of growing. It's part of the fruit that God wants from our life. Many times it doesn't exist. Then he says we're to walk worthy of the Lord. First of all, he says, unto all pleasing. Secondly, that we would bear fruit in every good work. Thirdly, increasing in the knowledge of God. See, this is a cycle. This is cool how this works. God says, if you grow, if you draw near me and spend time in the Word, I will build you up. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you discernment so that you can live for me. And that will enable you to take the next step and start walking worthy of me in a way that is worthy of who I am as the sovereign of the universe. Holy, righteous, honoring to God. And as you do that, he said, I want you to walk worthy of me in pleasing me and in bearing fruit. And then he said, as you do that, it'll also increase your knowledge of God. Isn't that neat? He says, as you do that, you're going to gain more about the knowledge of God. Not just information. The word that is used here is epignosko. It means a full knowledge. It's more than just information. It's a full knowledge. It's that intimate, close relationship, that intimate, close knowledge of God that you get from being close to God. And he said, that's what I want you to get. I want you to draw near me and stay close. And as you are filled with the knowledge of God by studying the Bible, you're going to get more wisdom and discernment. You're going to show that shows you how to walk worthy, and it's going to show you how to live to please God and to do His works and to bear fruit, and it'll cause you then to grow in more full knowledge of God. And Christians that lack the strength to do this, you know, we lack the strength to do that, don't we? You know, you stop and think, well, how can I do that? That's what I want. And I think some of you down in your heart, you say, yeah, that's what I really want. But we lack strength. What do we do then? Well, then he goes on to the next verse and tells us, verse number 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto the all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. God gives the strength that we need to do the things he asks us to do. He gives us the strength we need. Now, it's neat as I studied this verse. It says there, giving thanks unto God and the Father, which has made us meet to be. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience. All right, so it talks about strengthened with all might. The word with there is a little Greek word, en, which usually means in or by. All right, so he says that we need to be strengthened in all might. In other words, he's saying, in the times when you need might, you need power, you need strength, you say, I just can't do it. He says, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the strength. He said, as God sees us desiring to walk worthy of Him, desiring to spend time in the Word, feed ourselves, strengthen us, build ourselves up to the Word so we can gain wisdom and discernment. And we said, as I'm gaining this, I want to grow closer to you so I can walk worthy of you. And as God sees us desiring to that, God says, I'll strengthen you. I'll build you up. I'll hold you up. I'll strengthen you. I'll give you the energy you need. I'll give you the wisdom and the guidance you need to be able to do what I've asked you to do. God will enable us with His almighty power. And He says that strength comes from what? Look at verse number 11 again. According to His glorious power. According to God's glorious power. God's glorious power. That power of God is that which makes Him glorious. And the glorious power of God is that will strengthen us. God is the awesome sovereign of the universe. Unchangeable, omnipotent, unlimited, absolute power of the universe, God. And he said he will strengthen you to do what he's asked you to do if you will do what you're supposed to do. You know, God's not going to give you that strength until you step out and say, God, I'm determined. I'm going to spend time in the Bible. I'm going to learn and I'm going to gain I'm going to get that knowledge. I want the knowledge of God that will lead me in your will, show me your mind, and fill me with wisdom, and give me discernment. I want that, and I'm going to spend time in it. And God says, good, I'll give you some strength to do that. And then God, I want to walk worthy of you. And God says, good, I'll give you some more strength to do that. I want you to walk worthy for me. And that we walk worthy to is pleasing, and that we work, bear fruit for His glory. And God says, good, I'll give you that power. And He says, I give you that power because it's part of my power, and I'm giving you my power to do that. You know, God's offering us His almighty power to do what He's asked us to do. Psalm 119, verse number 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. God said, I want you to seek me with your whole heart. We find also Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. See, God says, I want you to just say, God, I've got to have that. I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. God, I want that power of yours to guide me in life. I need your full knowledge. I need that wisdom. I need that discernment. God, I need that, and I want that, and I'll sacrifice to do it. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to meditate on the Word. I'm going to dig into it. I want to grow, and I want to walk worthy of you, God. And I know I can't walk worthy until I understand your word. So feed me on your word. Help me to walk worthy that I might please you, that I might honor you, that I might bear fruit in my life. And God, strengthen me for that. I need your strength. And God says, I want to do that. Paul said he was praying to that end, that they would be strengthened. And three results would be received from God's strength. They would be patient. The word patient means steadfast endurance. They'll keep on keeping on. Doing what's right. Long suffering is perseverance. That means they're slow to revenge in wrongs. People do wrong to us. Instead of saying, you did wrong to me, woo, I'll get you back. No, God says, long suffering. He'll give us that long suffering through the trials of life. And then He says the third result is that we would do that with joyfulness or gladness. God wants us to walk worthy, not with a long face. God doesn't want us to go around and say, walking worthy of the Lord today. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm walking worthy of the Lord. He didn't want us to do that. He wants us to have joy in our heart. And He wants us to be happy. And He says, I'll give you a joy in your heart during those trials, during the difficult times. I'll strengthen you. I'll build you up. I'll give you joy in your heart so that you can be what God wants you to be. So these results are supernatural. They are produced by God living in us and working in us and helping us in our daily walk. So as we tie it all together here, Paul says there's three things that he's praying for their spiritual growth. Number one, he's praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Number two, that they would walk worthy of the Lord. Number three, that they would be strengthened by His might and walk worthy of the Lord every day throughout their life, strengthened by God. All right? Now, what we need to do is ask ourselves this very important question. See, it's not about information, it's about application. It's about putting into practice what we've known. And we need to ask ourselves, how much am I growing spiritually? Ask yourself that question. I mean, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Ask yourself, how much am I growing spiritually? Am I growing? How much have I truly grown in the last month or the last year? How much have I been gaining from my Bible reading? Am I learning and gaining and growing? Am I reading my Bible? Am I spending time with God? Am I growing? You know, we ought to be filled with knowledge and of wisdom and discernment, walk worthy of the Lord, to please Him, to bear fruit, to learn from Him, to gain His wisdom and to be strengthened. And again, it's not about information, it's about application. We've got to live for God. And we've got to grow. And so, as you look into your heart, if you're not growing spiritually like you ought to, what should you do? Well, the very first thing is to admit it. As long as you keep saying, I'm okay, better than the other guy, you'll never fix the problem. Number one, admit it. Number two, humble yourself before God. Number three, ask God to change your life. Ask God to change you. Pretty basic, but it's true. That's what God wants. And God wants us then to pray that we will begin to do all that we know God wants us to do. We don't lack information. We lack application. We just need to pray that God would help us to do what we know we're supposed to do.